What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Off the Record. I'm your host, Imogen Marshall, and as always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All the details are on our website at www.offtherecorduk.com. Now, before we welcome this week's guest, we have the news. So, this week in the world of country music, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill celebrated their 23rd wedding anniversary, so congratulations to them. Gabby Barrett and Cade Fainer got married this weekend, so the two are obviously American Idol alums, so congratulations to them as well. John Pardy became engaged to his girlfriend Savannah at his Nashville show at the Ryman. The video is everywhere on YouTube, so make sure to go and give that a check out. Definitely a little tearjerker for you all. And Lady Antebellum and Clint Black are among the new Music City Walk of Fame inductees, so congratulations to them as well. Hugely well deserved. Now, in terms of new releases this week, we had Way Down, which was Tim McGraw's new track featuring Shy Carter, which is just a classic Tim McGraw tune. It's not going to break any records as far as I'm concerned, but it's definitely just a solid tune from him, so congrats. So yeah, make sure to check that one out. One of my favorite releases this week was There Was Jesus, which is Zach Williams' track featuring Dolly Parton. I haven't heard Dolly Parton sing like this in a while, and it's absolutely beautiful, so definitely go and check that one out. And Everywhere I'm Going was released this week from Maddie and Tay, so that was absolutely I really love everything that Maddie and Tay are about, and this one is definitely kind of like them going back to like their kind of like more romantic roots. I think that they obviously released Bathroom Floor recently, and they're just very clever songwriters, so it's really I really hope that they get the success that they deserve. The Wild We're Kin also obviously were on the podcast last week, and they released their self-titled album, which is absolutely stunning. I absolutely love everything that Wild We're Kin are about, and this is such an organic, like cleverly written, also really unique album, and I really can't say enough good things about it, so definitely go and check that one out. And finally, Dan and Shay released their new track with Justin Bieber called 10,000 Hours. Not the biggest fan of Justin Bieber, surprisingly, and I don't actually think that he brings a lot to this track. It's very much like a very boy bandy, kind of like a bit sickly sweet at times, but it's definitely been stuck in my head, so read into that what you will, and I think it's just worth a listen, just if anything, just because it's Dan and Shay and Justin Bieber, two big heavy hitters in the musical world right now. Anyway, so that's been your news for this week. Now, for episode 88 of the podcast, I'm so thrilled to announce Emily Hackett. She is a prolific songwriter, and I absolutely love her new releases. She'll be coming over to the UK soon as part of Country Music Week, as part of the Bluebird Cafe, so make sure to check her out then. She really is just such a unique storyteller, and she really, as we talk about in this podcast, gets so raw and real with her latest release, and I really think that that's just something that should be admired, and we should have more of that and celebrate it. So please welcome Emily Hackett to the podcast. How excited are you for the UK trip? I can't believe that you're finally coming over. It's such an exciting week that it's shaping up to be.
Oh my gosh, I'm thrilled. It really worked out beautifully that I was able to be there, and all these different shows now are coming into place, and I'm very excited, and I think that it's a beautiful time to be over there.
Yeah.
In the fall, hopefully won't be too cold yet.
Yeah, hopefully. I think it won't be too bad. The weather should be pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Do you have any idea what to expect kind of from the UK audience, or is it kind of going in very blind to it?
Well, it's been a while since I've been back. I have played some shows in the UK before, so I feel like I have some sort of expectation, but I'm eager to come back with new music, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, with much more experience as an artist, just having played out 100%. A lot more and comfortable with my audience. And
And the UK audience is so much more receptive now, I feel like. There's just such that the appetite over here is just crazy for it. Everyone's just like, just give us as much country and Americana as possible.
Yeah, there is. It's that you're right. I think the appetite has grown quite a bit.
Yeah.
Since I was last there, and with the help of bands like Kings of Leon and you know, not I'm sorry, the one that I'm thinking of, Mumford and Sons.
Of course, yeah.
Bands like that have a lot of like folky influences and have really just focused hard on songwriting.
100%. And I also sort of go back when I talk to people sort of about their music and their kind of journey. You're originally from Atlanta, is that right?
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
Yeah, but you, so in my head, which is probably completely wrong, so Atlanta's very far south, right?
It is, it's in Georgia.
But you didn't grow up completely with country music. So how, what kind of stuff did you grow up, what did you grow up with, and kind of like, when did that, I guess not conversion, but like, when did you kind of get suckered into the country stuff?
So it really happened with, you know, I grew up on rock and roll because that's what my dad listened to.
Yeah.
And he was definitely my main music influence.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until, you know, I think that the first country record I ever heard was Shania Twain.
Yes, that's the good stuff.
And I just remember thinking she was something else. And I didn't, it's funny, I still look at it almost the same as I did then, that I didn't look at it as a country record. I just listened to it and was like, oh, I think that this woman is incredible, and I fell in love with her music. And then the same thing happened with the Dixie Chicks. And then it wasn't really, I didn't dive in head first figuring out many more country acts until I fell for my high school love, and he was obsessed with country music, and so of course,
so obviously,
naturally became obsessed too.
It's so funny though, going back, because like, I feel like when you're younger, it's the kind of story of life, I guess, that you don't, everyone isn't sort of segmented in genres, no one needs those like labels and everything, and suddenly you're like, but like, I find it funny because people just play music for music's sake, like Shania Twain and Dixie Chicks so different, and your music is so different to them. It's so funny to even categorize it all in under one umbrella.
I completely agree. I think genres have always been kind of a silly thing to me, but I understood their necessity at some point, especially with, you know, selling physical copies of merchandise or whatever it may be, and especially with radio. But now that there's so much music and it's being listened to from every which way, I just think it's, and not to mention the fact that more and more music that comes out, we are more susceptible to hearing every genre, whereas I think in the past, our parents or their parents, they really only had access to music from one or two sources, and usually it did revolve around the radio, so it was whatever their parents listened to, or it was whatever the radio station they could get on their car, and now we can listen to absolutely anything from all over the world. So our influences have just meshed. They've become this melting pot.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very, very cool to be able to say that I truly listened to and am inspired by
so many things.
Many types of genres. So,
And kind of when did you make the move from Atlanta to Nashville, and kind of, I guess, what did that move and that journey kind of give to your music? Do you think it changed the sound at all, or
of course, I think living in Nashville, if anything, it just taught me how to be a better songwriter. I think I had an innate ability to understand what it was, what it meant to be poetic and honest in my lyrics, but Nashville songwriters and writing, co-writing being such a prominent thing here, was able to give me perspective on, you know, is that lyric just something straight out of my diary, or does it also relate to somebody else? Because ultimately that's the goal, like, as an artist, of course I want to create something that is art in its own right and means something to me, but there's no point really in doing that unless it means something to somebody else. So Nashville's taught me how to be a consumer's writer.
Well, Nashville does that very well, that sucker of you're like, but that song's about me too. And that's such
storytelling, you know, it's so important.
Well, that's the thing which has always gripped me about Nashville songwriting in particular, is that it's that storytelling element that's just, it's beautiful.
Definitely. And I've admired lots of writers in Nashville over the years for that.
Yeah. And how far along? I know one of the big kind of moments, I guess, in your sort of journey and career was when you released that Lords Royals cover. So how far along was that in your sort of, I guess, your career trajectory, if you want to call it that?
Yeah, the journey. I would say that was really in the beginning of it all.
Yeah.
I've been writing songs since I was a kid. I started writing songs in the sixth grade and, you know, kind of came with every crush that I had or every boyfriend.
You're like, this is my therapy. I need to get to it.
100%. But then, you know, I started to take it a little bit more seriously, obviously, when I discovered that it was something that you could do for a living in Nashville and that I could, that big starry-eyed dream of being an artist became a little bit more palpable when I discovered Nashville as a city. And then that was still very early on, though. I went through, my journey is an interesting one because when I got to Nashville, that big fish in a small pond feeling that I had very quickly, it didn't go away completely, but I became very fearful. And I let myself lean into the fear of the fact that there are so many talented people in the city.
And, it's so easy to be intimidated and kind of just overwhelmed by things like that.
Absolutely. I think that many people feel that. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, you know, when all of a sudden you're put in a lot of competition with people who are really equals to you or better than you, then you react in one of two ways. And I think my fight or flight kicked in, and I didn't necessarily flee because I was always writing, but I decided, you know what, I really like the business side of this too, and so I kind of chased after that for a little bit, and I continued growing as a songwriter. But when I decided to do that cover with my friend Megan, was right after I had a few doors closed on the business side, and I felt the universe pulling me
Kind of like the universe has your back.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that was a moment that was definitely a telling thing when that door opened and people started responding to that song, which we weren't really expecting. You know, we were just kind of doing it for fun for ourselves.
It's so funny how, like, that kind of thing, like, it can be the most, half time it is just that completely organic moment that can be, this just tipping point. And it's funny how, like, you can think things through so much about, like, releases and stuff, but quite often it is that more organic side that just sort of hits through.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel that's probably been more often than not in my career. The things that I end up talking about are the ones that I can laugh at, saying, can you believe that we randomly decided to do that and that's what happened with us?
It's mad, isn't it? It's but kind of a beautiful thing that you're like, okay, this wasn't planned, and then it happened like this, rather than being like, so we had this strategy, and it was going to work like this, 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 and this. It's,
right, because you never know, and especially in today, you know, there's no right way of doing things in music anymore. I think it really is following your gut, and sure, you can have some, you know, plans to look at and kind of go from, but there's no guarantee that it's going to work the same way for one person as it does for another. So it is good to just go with what feels right and what is fun and creative for you as an individual, because those are usually the ones that end up being successful.
Exactly. And before we talk about like your projects at the moment and things, so obviously you've toured with a huge amount of like crazy amazing people, and gone so many places around the country and stuff. What do you kind of think you've learned in terms of your live performances over the years, and do you think that's affected the way that you go into the studio as a musician and like the music that you put out there?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think like I said, with learning, you know, how to write for the people, it's a pretty quick realization whether a song works or not when you play it for the first time live.
Yeah.
And if people, you know, really respond to it, then you know you've done something right. And
yeah,
if they're kind of just like okay to it, then perhaps you need to revisit it and figure out what about it wasn't registering to them as you know, as real or cool or whatever it may be. And and so I've learned how to, I think the more that I'm myself too on stage, and the less that I care about the little mistakes and things like that. Like even last night I played a really big show in Nashville, and it was on the radio, and it was a whole lot of fun. And of course there were little moments where maybe a band member hit the wrong chord, or I, you know, waited a half a second too late to start a verse or whatever it was, mistakes that I could have freaked out about. The audience, now I feel like I've developed a bond with, that I can just be myself and kind of smile at a mistake or laugh at it instead of letting it affect the rest of my show. Because it's their time, you know, it's not just my time on stage to be an artist. It's their time that they've chosen to spend with me. So I just want to make sure that I'm continuing to put out good energy.
Yeah. And also, like, at the end of the day, we're all human, and actually sometimes there's beauty in the mistakes as much as there is in the perfect moments, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And so obviously your project, and your project at the moment sort of started off last year with your By the Sun, which was obviously the first half of the EP, half of the album. How kind of, why did you decide to do it in that kind of format of having two sides to the album? It's just such a like unique and beautiful idea that I don't think many people have actually done.
Thank you. You know, it was kind of a funny thing. We recorded the entire album at one time, and finished it as a full piece of art. And I think that, you know, the old school artist in me wanted to put it out as one piece, but I also really wanted to grow with my listeners and my generation, me being a part of that listenership, you know, that we all consume music differently these days. And there's just so much of it that I felt like it was easier being a new artist to introduce myself a little bit slower than just kind of pummeling a ton of music at somebody at one time. I think because our attention spans have changed, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. You just have to learn as an artist how to grow with that.
Yeah.
So I sat down with the songs one day and just looked at them with strictly a feeling base. I said, how does this song make me feel? I don't care about the tempo. I don't care about, you know, if it feels sad or if it feels happy or whatever. I just want to know what it is as my personality. And I started drawing little suns and moons next to every song based on how it made me feel. And then when I zoomed out, I had five moon and five suns.
That's
and
so
I
funny.
Said, oh my gosh, this is how I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah. That's so, I guess.
It was very intuitive.
Yeah. So was it just, was it an obvious choice to do the sun songs first and then the moon one second? Or was it like which one do we go with first?
No, I think it was pretty, it was right away that I knew, oh, okay, I think I need to introduce myself As By the Sun first, because those were the songs that were unapologetically me.
Yeah.
There was nothing to hide in any of those about my personality. Yeah. Whereas By the Moon was much more vulnerable and got a little bit more raw and real. And I wanted to give people the chance to get to know me before telling them about my mistakes. Yeah.
And almost it's like,
but I wanted to grow with them.
And that is the natural way to introduce yourself to someone, because you wouldn't go, let's go in right deep straight of all, and then I'll tell you about the lighter side of my personality. You'd go,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not going to walk into a bar and be like, hi, nice to meet you. I cheated on my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Like, that would
be so funny.
So you have to kind of work your way there.
Yeah. And so my favorite track of the first sort of By the Sun one was definitely Josie. So can you talk to me about the inspiration behind that one?
Absolutely, I appreciate that. So my cousin, at the time she was 13, and man, I felt like we all sat around the table one day when she wasn't there, my family and my grandmother, my aunt, we weren't talking badly on her or anything.
No.
It was just more of a concerned place, and she was, you know, just not in a good space in school, giving away a lot of herself, wearing clothes that suggested more than she should have at that age, and things like that. That we were like, how do we talk to her? How do we tell her that you don't need to do that? You know, you can be yourself, and you don't have to change who you are and shift your morals just to be accepted and loved. And so I came home not really knowing how to communicate that with her, and I just, that song, it was like a gift that fell from the sky. I wrote the first two verses in the chorus in just a few minutes. It really just like fell out of my lap, into my lap. And so it was nice. I decided, you know, to use it was originally called Never Been Kissed. And then I was playing it a few times, before I recorded it. And people kept coming up to me after shows saying, oh, I love that song, Josie. And I was like, okay, of course.
Okay, good
reading. I have to give it, I have to call it a her, you know. That is her song.
So, oh, I love that. Yeah, so it's kind of an important message, which I love. Something for which everyone kind of needs to hear at some point in their life.
Definitely. You know, that's what I always tell people. When I tell the story on stage, you know, it started off as a message to my cousin, but it's something that I remind myself all the time. It's definitely multi-layered.
Yeah, for sure.
For anybody.
And obviously also on that album you wrote Nostalgia with your husband. Do you find there's certain songs that... do you find it easier to co-write with people? And I guess, do you find it easy writing with people you're very close to? Because then I can imagine for some people that's really easy, and some people like prefer writing with almost total strangers.
It totally depends for me personally on whether or not the way that we create works well together.
Yeah.
I don't have to know somebody in order to create really great music with them. Obviously, you know, it's just like what we were saying about, you don't walk into a bar and immediately pull your heart out to a stranger. You do kind of have to go through
emotions.
A little bit of
getting
to know each other just a little bit in the beginning, spending the first hour of a co-write asking about where they're from and what they're currently going through and all of that, just kind of see where you land, what same pages you land on from a lyrical standpoint.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think sometimes, obviously, it can be easier to write with the people that you know because you can skip that step.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
By no means do I need to skip that step.
Yeah. No, it's kind of beautiful also coming at different angles with different people, sharing... Yeah, different people can drag out different parts of your soul almost that you didn't know existed. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And then
sometimes when you're writing with a stranger, there's less inhibition because
that's true.
You don't have to hold back because they're a friend and you don't necessarily want to share certain information with them or whatever. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I can go even a little bit deeper with a stranger because they don't know me.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, lessons for life almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this year, obviously, you released the By the Moon. And how excited, I guess, were you to... Was it exciting, but also really nerve-wracking to reveal that sort of more vulnerable, rawer side of yourself?
Oh, of course. I think, you know, it's funny. My parents obviously have known these songs for quite a while.
But yeah.
When I start talking about them with... you know, in interviews and in press and start revealing a little bit more of the real truth behind some of these songs, I think that that was what made me the most nervous, was telling the people that I love the most, oh, by the way, this song is actually about this.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in the past I had even lied about some of it. I think I had told them, oh, I wrote this about somebody else. And then I had to come to grips with the fact that, okay, now that I'm putting this out, I have to be honest with the world. I also have to be honest with my parents and my best friend and, you know, all at the same time.
And almost with yourself.
That was the thing that I was most scared of.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a scary one, like bearing your soul to the world, I guess. But there's so many parts that I feel like everyone can relate to. I mean, you know, Quit Overthinking song is one that particularly springs to mind. But were there songs that, I guess, what was the one you were most scared to put out there, and also what was your favourite one to put out there?
I think I was most scared about Easy.
Yeah.
Because that was a big relationship in my life that I learned the most about myself and what I'm capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a hard truth to come to grips with.
Yeah.
And that's something that I chose, okay, I'm going to work on this on myself. You know, I don't want to do this again. And I think it was one of my very favorite songs of how it ended up on the record in terms of production.
Yeah.
I was really proud of it. But I still have such a soft spot for Gave Them Away because that was another, A, because I wrote it by myself, and that's a meaningful thing for how often I write with others these days in Nashville. It's nice to be able to say, no, this song is fully me, and
That's rare. That's really rare now.
Yeah. So I was proud of that, and it was a moment that I had to stand back and look at myself and be like, well, you screwed that one up. Like, let's not do that again.
Yeah. Scary, but also like liberating.
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna say. Liberating is a great word.
And I absolutely. Yeah, and I loved the music. The music video was so, like, powerful in its kind of mystery for Easy. Was it fun to film? Was it difficult to film as well?
Oh, no, it was a blast.
Okay, good.
We had a really great day.
Yeah.
I remember coming up with that idea just when I was looking at the lyrics, and they were all questions, you know, and I was like, oh, how do we do something that just involves a lot of questions back to back? And then, of course, I immediately thought of being in a detective room and somebody asking you,
it just looked like a lot of fun.
Why did you do this? It was. And I don't know if is True Detective
we've got it over here.
Okay.
All good
stuff. We had just finished that season and I was obsessed with it, and so I just thought the whole look of it and everything would be so cool to try and mimic. And
you guys played
really
dress up
the way that came out. I'm sorry?
You get to play dress up. What's wrong? Like, that's just fun in itself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, looking for the costumes. I mean, I went costume shopping myself for that, and went to several vintage stores in Nashville and pulled a bunch of different things. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Figuring out, you know, what's gonna be cool. Finding that old brown 70s suit that I wore as a detective was just so awful.
Yeah.
So fun.
Awful, but also you're like, I've always secretly wanted to wear one of these, and now I know what it's like, and now I don't want to do it again.
Right. Playing dress up, it's almost like a Halloween costume that you get to go back and watch over and over.
Yeah. And I guess, so my last question before we just do some final 10, kind of what did you want people to take away from the project? Or was there anything you wanted people to take away? Or was it just you, just getting you, I guess, out of it?
So I think, mostly I just wanted to introduce myself in the most well-rounded way that I possibly could to the world. And these are songs that I didn't just write in a year. You know, these were written over the course of several years of me in my early 20s figuring out how the hell to do, to just try to be a good person and to try to live my truest self. And I finally was able to find that. And so I wanted to introduce myself to the world in that, in the most honest way that I could.
Yeah.
And then in turn, by doing that, also invite them to do the same and let people know you aren't the only one that has had other thoughts about a person in a relation, like outside of your relationship, or you're not the only one that has screwed up and let somebody go and now you miss them. And the same message with Josie. Every single song had a message that I really, that felt important to me to get out to the world, to be like, hey, this is me, so it's okay if you felt that way too.
Yeah, I love that. And I always just end with my final 10 questions. They're just much shorter ones. So, wine or whiskey?
Oh, it's hard. Whiskey.
Would you rather give up songwriting or performing?
Oh.
In for the world's most horrible question for a musician.
Oh, yeah, these are terrible. Guess performing?
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's like so much choice.
I don't know. That's honestly
horrible.
So hard. because my husband's a songwriter too, you know, and he doesn't do the performing thing, and so I have considered performing other people's songs.
Yeah.
But I just think that it would be, I think I would go crazy if I couldn't have that therapy of writing. But if I could still sing at home and be able to do it for myself and no longer perform in front of a bunch of people, then I think that I would still, at least I wouldn't go crazy.
Yeah,
you know.
I feel you. What record couldn't you live without if you were stuck on a desert island?
Oh, it's funny, we asked this question last night with my band. I said Led Zeppelin 4.
Ooh, that's a good one. I love that album is amazing.
It's my fave.
A record you're listening to on repeat at the moment?
I have been listening to a lot of Sasha Sloan.
Ooh.
She is a newer songwriter. She lives in LA. And she doesn't really have like a full album out. She just keeps dropping a lot of singles every few weeks.
Yeah.
So she's on her way to having an album, but I can put her on and just listen down, and I've really enjoyed her songwriting and her very simple production, and
yeah,
that. It's been fun.
I'll go and check that one out. Who would be your dream collaboration?
I would love to write with Sheryl Crow.
Oh, yeah, because would it be anyone better? Like,
the coolest thing.
First Cut is the Deepest will still be one of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's just incredible. That whole Tuesday Night Music Club is one of my favorite records.
Oh, so good. What would be the dream venue to perform at?
The Ryman.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Do you have a road trip essential?
Actually, my husband bought me this teeny tiny, cutest thing in the world. It's a little mini watercolor kit.
Oh, wait, that's so cute.
And so I've been doing these tiny watercolor drawings on the back of postcards or pieces of hotel paper, and it's been really fun to have another outlet of creativity.
Yeah, that's so fun. And finally, just complete the sentence. So, music is
happiness.
Country music is
community.
Oh, I love that one. And finally, Emily Hackett is
honest.
Oh, that's a good one. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. So thank you so much to Emily for that. And that will do for episode 88 of Off the Record. Make sure to tune in next week. We've got another exciting guest who'll probably be some part of the Country Music Week lineup. So have a great week. Bye, y'all.